dog on the freeway northbound 5.
It's a pet owner's nightmare. Their beloved pet loose and running in traffic on the freeway. And that's happened not once, but twice in about a month just in our local area. How can you keep your pet safe? We talk about that and the tools that seem like a good idea. Crates and harnesses that might not live up to expectation. A failure that could have deadly consequences. And even at home, everything from plants to food and medication to just plain carelessness that can threaten the health and well-being of your cat or dog. We get a list of the dangers so that you can avoid them. And Congressman Brad Sherman joins us to talk about critical topics facing the U.S. and Congress right now and who he's endorsing to be California's next senator. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. Today, we have with us a man who has dedicated his life to public service, quite literally. Congressman Brad Sherman is now serving his 14th term in the U.S. House of Representatives. His 32nd district represents much of the San Fernando Valley and western Los Angeles up through Malibu. Hello, Congressman. Good to see you. We've talked for a while about getting you on the show. Glad to have you finally.
Good to be with you.
Well, let's talk about a matter that's of increasing urgency here in the United States, and that's money. The increasing concern over a failure to raise the debt limit could put our country in default. Can you walk us through that, what's happening in Congress, and what's the potential of this threat?
Well, you know, there's some threats to our economy, like COVID, the China, the Ukraine invasion. But you understand, those are things that could happen, and they're terrible, and they affect us. But the biggest problem hitting our economy now is self-imposed. It's a self-inflicted wound. And it is this idea that we won't honor our debts. We have certain tax policies, and we argue about those all the time. We have certain spending policies. We argue about those all the time. But what we should never argue about is whether, when the bill comes due, we actually pay it. If we don't raise the debt limit, then come this June, bills that are owed by the United States won't be paid. That would put the whole world into a recession. The U.S. plays a very prominent role in the fiscally. And the entire world economy is based on the idea that an obligation of the U.S. government will be paid and will be paid on time. If we depart from that, you're going to see millions of unemployed Americans, and it's unnecessary. The Republicans in Congress are refusing to increase the debt limit, and they think that by holding America hostage, they can somehow get us to cut Social Security or take other measures that we wouldn't take otherwise.
Do you think this is a false threat, or do you think there's something real about this thing?
There are some crazies in the House, among the House Republicans, who will probably push this to the limit. And of course, Kevin McCarthy can't be Speaker unless he keeps his crazies with him. The problem here is, even if we don't dishonor our debt this summer, it's already hurting our economy now. We're trying to create an investment environment that attracts capital from all over the world. Who wants to invest in a country that may shoot itself in the head economically? It's already affecting what projects are getting funded, what factories are being built, what research projects are getting the green light. It's a terrible thing to do to our economy, and it's so unnecessary.
Let's pivot for a second. We're going to see some changes in the California Senate landscape coming along. Dianne Feinstein has announced her retirement after many, many years. And first of all, do you have a favorite in the Senate race? We've got a few people who have announced.
I've endorsed my friend Adam Schiff. We've represented adjoining districts for 24 years.
Well, what do you think this change brings? I mean, whoever you put in there, it does change things. People bring their personalities, their ideas, and their thoughts.
Well, geographically, it'll be an excellent change. For decades, we had two senators from Northern California. And if Adam were to win, we would have two from L.A. County. In fact, two from the San Fernando Valley. So I think an L.A. perspective for a decade or two would be a nice thing to have after so many decades with two senators from the San Francisco Bay Area. I think Adam will bring energy, independence, an ability to work across the aisle, and yet, as we saw with impeachment, a guy with a spine of steel that can stand up when that's what it's called for.
You know, last time I saw you was out in Woodland Hills. It's just a few weeks ago. And you were there to appear at a local school, and you were going to give a talk, a town hall. But then suddenly there was a lockdown. It was a false alarm, but there was a lockdown. And the kids all were locked into the school, and the parents all came flying in, fearing the worst. You know, and I asked you on that day, you know, what do you do with this? I mean, it's not just, there was no gun there. There was no threat to these kids, but the parents. And so we have a fear in this country that you hear something like a lockdown, it must be real, must be a problem. How are you dealing with this in Washington?
You know, when I was in high school, somebody might pull the fire alarm and we'd go outside in a fire drill, but we'd come back. And we wouldn't lose a school day. Our parents wouldn't be on edge. Now, with these shootings, the harm isn't just the victims at the particular school that is shot or other public place. It's not just their families. It's the entire country. And while this was news in Los Angeles, I'm sure this happens in New York and Chicago and Atlanta and everywhere else. And we wouldn't necessarily focus on something that didn't lead to a death that was happening in another city. But you were there to cover the fact that the lives of thousands of students and family members had been disrupted, in this case, by a false alarm. And we've got to do everything we can to reduce school shootings and to reduce the deaths that come from those shootings.
So let me just interrupt real quick, because we only have a minute. Quick answer. Is there anything that can be done?
There are things that can be done, but they won't be fully sufficient. We need gun control. We need mental health.
So that would be somehow, that seems like such a slippery slope. It seems like such a difficult thing to try to deal with in D.C., where you are right now.
Well, you've got gun control has to be done on a nationwide basis. The mass shooting that occurred in the San Fernando Valley in my district occurred with a man who brought in his guns from Washington State. And mental health, if it's going to get funded, will be significantly funded by Congress. Frankly, that's where the money is.
All right.
So I think both these issues come out of Washington.
All right. Brad Sherman, Congressman, San Fernando Valley and around. Thank you so much. Good to see you. Glad to get you on the show. We'll see you again soon. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth. You've probably seen the dramatic video recently of terrified dogs running on the freeway. We talked to some experts about how you can keep your pets safe and prevent this from happening to you or your animals. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. We turn now to a subject that's very close to many of us, the safety of our precious pets. We've recently done a couple of news stories involving dogs that got loose on the freeway. This video is painful to look at, but it's comforting to know that the dog involved is going to be okay. But watching it, you can see why it's important to prevent this sort of behavior. Let's bring in our experts joining us right now, movie dog trainer Laura Nativa, a friend of mine for a long time, and I got her name wrong, and Lindsay Wolko. She's the founder of the Center for Pet Safety. Welcome to both of you guys. Like I said, Laura and I are friends. We've known each other for quite a while. About a month ago, she helped me pick out my new rescue, Lila.
Lila, I love Lila.
And you've been helping me with her training, so I'm hoping you can help our viewers with some good advice on keeping their pets safe. And look how cute that baby is.
Oh, my God, she's adorable. I'm so happy
she's
for you.
She's about 4 years old, 7.5 pounds, and like I was just telling Laura, she's like a Velcro dog. She's now so bonded to me that she sticks to my clothes, but I love her. Tell us, Laura, how can we prevent the sort of thing we saw in that video?
Oh, my gosh. So it's devastating. When you watch that video and you think about what if that was your dog, These are preventable accidents. So in that circumstance, I believe they had lowered the car window. We need to think about keeping our dogs restrained in the car. That's why Lindsay is here with Center for Pet Safety. But there are things that we can do, whether it's using a crate, using a crash-tested harness. We can condition our dogs to feel safe in equipment. And if you think about kids, we wouldn't let our children hang out the front seat without a seatbelt on in the front seat. So why are people letting their dogs do this?
That video is so tough to look at. You know, Lindsay, you founded the Center for Pet Safety. What's that all about and why'd you do it?
So years ago, my dog Maggie was injured by a pet product, a travel harness that did not perform as intended during a sudden stop on I-66 here in the D.C. area. And we took a look at the quality of the pet products on the market, joined the industry, learned that it was highly unregulated with very little oversight, and pets were being injured by these products on a regular basis. So we did a pilot study and launched the organization based on the results.
Now let me show everybody something. This is, you talked about a restraint. This part goes on the harness, it goes around the back, and just like they tell you on an airplane, you buckle the seatbelt. And that's it. And the dog doesn't want to move, but this sort of thing, good idea?
No, we recommend that you look to centerforpetsafety.org, look at the CPS certified list, and select a product from that list.
Let's go there. You sent us some shocking videos of crash tests with crates and harnesses. I want to take a look at that right now. It's kind of funny or not, but these are like crash dummies that are used in tests, just like what's used in cars for people. But those are dogs. They're not real dogs, but they're crash dummy dogs. So tell me about this. It's still a scary video that we watched. And now as we watch this, it shows that not everything lives up to our expectations, right?
That is correct. Yes, because the industry is so highly unregulated, this type of testing is new to the pet products industry. We are the ones that have, you know, fostered the idea that we need scientific safety standards in place to help protect pet owners, their families, and give their pets the best possible chance of survival in the case of a crash.
How do you sort through the various options for pet restraints?
Well, you have harnesses, crates, carriers, and pet travel seats that need to work with a harness. We certify all of those products right now. Three of those classes have products in them that we have certified. Three of those classes of products have harnesses, crates, and carriers we have certified on centerforpetsafety.org.
All right, Laura, what if the dog resists? How do you train the dog to accept it?
Well, it's really important to find the right crash tested, whether it's a crate or a harness. Think about how much space is in your vehicle, but what is the size of the dog? So once you decide whether you're using a harness or crate, you want to take your time, make it a fun and positive experience. You can start conditioning to the device very slowly, whether it's just simply putting the harness over their head, giving them a treat, practice buckling and unbuckling. And when you first get them used to riding in the car, don't actually go anywhere. Take them in the car, do nothing, maybe make a phone call, give them some treats for being in their crate or in their harness, making a positive experience. Get out of the car, play their favorite game. Don't just go to the vet office the first time you put them in their device.
Lindsay, should we rethink taking dogs in the car except for emergencies?
No, I think you should enjoy, you know, your time with your pets. And I mean, Laura is absolutely right. You need to acclimate your pets to the products. You can't just expect them to immediately understand what's going on when you put them in a safety harness for the first time.
Can you give us a list of the approved products, how to see that list?
Yes, centerforpetsafety.org. Go to the CPS certified list at the upper left-hand corner. That has all of the products. And if it's not on that list, it has not passed testing.
So that's very important. Before you buy, read, learn, understand. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
And you're nodding your head, too.
I am nodding my head 100%. My dogs ride in crash-tested crates, and I'm very proud to keep them safe.
All right, very good. Lindsay Wolko, thanks so much for joining us. Don't go away, Laura. We'll be right back after the break. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we'll take a deeper look at some of the dangers to our pets, including the place they should be the safest, right at home. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. We're talking about the dangers to our precious pets and how to avoid them. Rejoining us now is Laura Nativo, who trains dogs for movies and us ordinary folks as well. Laura, people with pets don't realize how many dangers there actually are right at home. Now, shortly after I got Lila, she bolted out the door. She went to the middle of a busy street, the leash dragging across the street, and I'm running out there waving my hand, stop, everybody, stop. It was right during rush hour. And you know, I was terrified for her, not realizing I was putting myself in danger. Do you have strategies for how to prevent that sort of thing?
Absolutely. I'm so sorry. I'm glad she's safe for everybody at home who's concerned.
And I'm safe, too.
Thank goodness. So, first of all, when you're adopting a new dog and you're taking them home, you are visiting a friend's house. So in that situation, I would think about using a leash until the door is securely closed. But if you're in your own home and you have a new puppy or a recently adopted dog who hasn't been fully trained, you can use things like baby gates, exercise pens, room dividers to basically create a double barrier to that front door. So while you're going through the training process of teaching your dog to recall, helping them understand that they're not supposed to cross that threshold without letting you cue them to go through the door, we start using management to keep our dogs safe.
You know, one of the tactics you talk about is getting down on your hands and knees when training your dog.
Definitely. You have to look at your home through your eyes. So think about whether it's a trash can, food on the counter, the front door where maybe they hear a squirrel outside. What are all of the distractions that might cause our pets to get into trouble? And how can we keep them safe through management and training?
Dogs can get into little vacuum cleaners. They can, or they can't be little vacuum cleaners. They can suck up this. They can grab this. And how do you deal with that?
So we have to think about how can we give our dogs more productive things to do. So we can take their food and we can feed them through interactive toys, enrichment feeders. We can use training games to keep their minds busy and to give them physical exercise. But when it comes to anything that's possibly a danger, we can use crates, management, and training to keep them safe.
But the bigger problem is it's not that they might grab a toy, or grab this. They can grab things that are toxic.
100%.
And there's a whole list of things that are toxic to our pets.
So we have to go through our homes and secure all of the cupboards, all of the trash cans. Make sure if you've just prepared a big meal that you take that trash right out so that the dog can't get into it. And think about things like bath bombs and soaps, things that dogs might smell differently.
We just had a list up on the screen. Grapes and raisins, mm-hmm. Little things we don't think about.
Grapes, raisins, onions,
macadamia nuts.
Macadamia nuts. There are so many different things.
Onions,
in your
garlic,
house.
Chives, stuff.
All of these things. If you visit ASPCA.org, they have a complete list of foods that you should be careful with. But even things that you think are delicious and might be safe, dogs need to eat in moderation. So you want to make sure that you keep your food off of the countertops where they can't have access.
But it's also certain kinds of plants that they can get into, and the roots of the plants can be toxic.
100%. So when you're going through your house, until your dog is really trained, you want to take these plants up, keep them safe, or you can use crates and management systems like those exercise pens to block off anything in the home that could be dangerous, like plants or even holiday trees.
And if your dog or cat does get into trouble, there's a poison line just for them, right?
Exactly. The ASPCA has the Poison Control Center, and you can call them 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Look at that cat.
So
isn't that
cute.
The cat's meow right there?
Oh, my gosh.
But you know what? Continuing on, you know, there's just a lot to think about. It's like having another child. And I know when you and I were getting Lila, this little thing that's on our desk right here, that's crash tested.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted me to get that because it was crash tested. It's a way to secure the dog in the car. And I guess those are some of the things we have to think about.
I did. And just like you said, like a child, you're not going to have your newborn baby and let them free roam the house. You're going to get them used to things. You're going to set up baby gates and little playpens. We want to do the same thing for our new dogs until they're trained and they learn how to exist in our home safely.
One of the things I clearly have learned over the last few weeks, these dogs, especially if they're rescues, mm-hmm. may have had some trauma in their life. And you get this traumatized animal and you have to bring some confidence and some level of security to them.
Definitely, and it's so beautiful to rescue. I'm so happy that you have Lila, but we never know what our pet's background is. So anytime we bring a new animal into the house, we always want to start from scratch. Don't worry about the past. Think about training. Think about management. How do we keep our dogs safe? How do we help them trust us and learn to navigate their new environment safely?
Let's talk about Lila again, because separation anxiety is something I've been dealing with. I don't know if she's got more separation anxiety or I do, but separation anxiety. How do you deal with that?
So separation distress is really common, especially with a lot of these pandemic puppies, anyone who's working long hours. You want to think about, what is our dog comfortable doing at home? Can we get them using interactive toys? Can we offer them creative enrichment? And really start slow. So with Lila, I wouldn't bring home a new dog and then leave for a 10-hour day, which I'm not saying anyone did. But if you don't have the time to be there, think about hiring a dog walker, hiring a dog trainer, taking them to a safe daycare, and giving them a place to go so that they're not left home alone for a long time when they first come home.
You know, one story that we were doing toward the end of the pandemic is pandemic animals, and people were taking the pets that they got while they were staying at home, working remotely, and returning them to the shelters. All of a sudden, you had an overpopulation at the shelters. Is that still the case, or are they kind of thinning out a little bit?
I think it's still the case, and I hate to hear these stories with rescues. A lot of times, people who adopted dogs might not have had the time to train, and because they were working from home, the dogs weren't used to them going to work. So now we have, as trainers, we're seeing a lot of dogs who are suffering. We always talk about there are certified separation anxiety trainers who specialize in separation anxiety. So you can see one of them, you can see your veterinarian, because there are medical as well as holistic ways to help treat them in addition to training.
All right, very good. Well, you know, I'll tell you, the bottom line is that I didn't have a dog for a while. Now I've got a dog. And like I said, it's like having another child. Lauren Ativo, thank you very much. And thanks for helping finding finding Lila. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.